I want to talk to you tonight about the favor factor. We'll read Psalms 5, verse 12. And a few weeks ago, Joe Corey came from Ireland and he talked about the favor of God. Now, but oftentimes what happens when you have a prophetic word spoken over you, you have the law of contradiction that comes. The very opposite of what is spoken comes. And you overcome that through the law of endurance. I'm at about the end of my endurance. I said, Lord, I need you. But you overcome and you have to press through those times. The Bible says concerning Joseph, send the word of the Lord tested him. Until the time of the word's fulfillment, it tested him. He was imprisoned and he was falsely accused and he was sold by his own brothers into slavery until the word of the Lord came to pass in his life. And in one moment, one day, God promoted him. And he had his first child. His first child he named Manasseh. And the name Manasseh means, in the joy of this birth, I've forgotten the pain and the toil of the past. So out of your pain will come a Manasseh, where God will give you a Manasseh experience where you can say, out of the joy of this birth, I've forgotten the toil and the pain of the past. So if you want to go with me to Psalms 5, verse 12, I want to take a few minutes and teach tonight about what favor is and what it means. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. So my question is it possible tonight to have the favor of God? Can I pray for God's favor in my life, for my family, for my job situation? The answer to those questions are simply yes. As a covenant child of God, it is possible to experience and have the favor of God on your life and on your ministry. Did you know that you are one of God's favorites? Did you know that he loves you and he wants the best for your life? That God has a plan to bless you, plans to prosper you, and plans to do you good and not evil. Even when our lives are touched by difficulty and pain, God will use that for our good. Joseph told his brothers who sold him into slavery, that he said this, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In Genesis 45:5, it says, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God will bless you even in times of difficulty and in times of pain. He will use your experience to be a blessing to others. It is possible, I believe, to have and experience the favor of God in your life. So I call this tonight simply the factor of favor, or the favor factor, however you want to do it. I've recently been studying, this week I've been looking at these notes on the favor of God. And when you read through the Bible, you see this phrase, the favor of God, on its pages. So I believe that God wants us to understand tonight the blessings of favor and position ourselves to receive and live in his favor. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, he says, the favor of God is as important as it is unexplored and misunderstood. Both the Old and the New Testaments frequently highlight God's favor. Heroes of faith such as Moses, David, Daniel, Mary, Peter, and Paul, and others have discovered and experienced the favor of God. And you can as well. The favor of God is not something that we can manipulate or exploit. It will always have a certain mystery that's attached to it, but it can be sought after, discovered, it can be experienced, and it can be enjoyed by the covenant children of God. So tonight I want to share briefly about the favor of God and what it will bring in the life of the believer. I hadn't said a lot about this recently, but I was looking at the calendar this week, and we're getting ready to head into the month of Elul on the Hebrew calendar. The month of Elul is the month that relates to the tribe of Gad. The word Gad means a troop or a fortune. And this month is a month of access and favor. So many things I believe God has promised us he's going to release in this coming month of access and favor. It's in the month of Elul that the king is in the field. It's when he leaves the palace and he sets aside the royal protocol and he comes and he pitches his tent in the field near his people. The Song of Solomon is set in that month where the Shulamite has access to the king. King is in the field. Access and favor. How many of you would like to have the favor of God? Say amen. So let's look at it. Favor defined. What is the favor of God? Well, it can be defined in the dictionary as friendly favor, the word favor, or kind regard, goodwill, approval, liking, or unfair partiality, favoritism, attractiveness, be partial to, prefer unfairly, help, assist, to do kindness for, and endorsing. Kate McVeigh writes in her book, The Blessing of Favor, experiencing God's supernatural influence, it means, number one, regarded or treated with favor, advantages are specially privileged. Bill Johnson defines the favor of God as a preferential treatment shown to somebody. It denotes acceptance, approval, and pleasures. For quite some time, the Lord has dealt with me about the favor of God. And some while back, the Lord spoke to me about the month of June, and he said, this will be a month where things will turn in your favor. Several years ago, Beth and I were believing God for some specific things. The Lord had been speaking to us, and we were engaging the Lord in faith concerning those things. And I remember during that month, during that time, we were driving home, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, in this month, in this season, things will turn in your favor. And before that month was out, we saw things begin to shift and things to begin to turn. Let me tell you that in September and October, there's a shift coming in the body of Christ. There's going to be a shift coming in the presidential election. Don't pay attention to a whole lot of what's going on now with the polls and all that. There's going to be a shift that's going to take place in September and October. Watch for it. And there's going to be a shift that takes place in the body of Christ. And we're going to have to operate in the favor of God. Now, I'm going to talk about the favor of God. The favor of God doesn't mean that we can manipulate anything that we want or we desire out of God. Well, God, I need a brand new iPod, and I need a $17,000 gold Apple Watch, and I need a Cadillac that, you know, with gold-plated rims. And that's not what the favor of God is about. I'm going to talk about what it's about, but let's define it first. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. For quite some time, God has dealt with me about favor. So I wanted to share with you tonight. I started researching, reading, and studying about the favor of God. What is the favor of God? Well, listen to what Dr. Ronnie Floyd says. Many crucial points in biblical history turn on whether someone did or did not receive the favor of God. Dr. Lance Wallnau defines the favor of God as, favor is the affection of God towards you that releases an influence through you so that other people are inclined to like, trust, and cooperate with you. The favor of God shows up in the earliest pages of human history. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, but Abel brought the portions from some of the firstborn of the flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, verse 5, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. What does that tell us? That tells us we have to do things according to the way the Lord appoints it and the way the Lord's word describes it and defines it if we're going to have favor. You can't operate outside of the boundaries of God's will and have favor. In Genesis 6:19, we learn that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So we see favor in the earliest times, in the earliest part of human history. Now, the word favor there is from a Hebrew word, hen. It means friendly regard, approval, or gracious kindness towards another. It usually describes a strong personal relationship, often between a superior and a subject. Why did God favor Noah? Well, the Bible doesn't explicitly say. But the next verse reads, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had favor, I believe, because he walked with God. If we walk with God, we will have the favor of God. If you want and desire the favor of God, then you must be righteous. You must be blameless among the people of your time, and you must walk with God in relationship. So what happened to Noah and his family? God spared them. God spared them alone from the flood that destroyed the wicked on the earth. He built an ark. You know the story. Why did God spare Noah? Because the favor of God was on him. He found favor in his sight. So let's look at favor. Kate McVeigh gives the following acronym for the word favor. Let's put it up there. Faith activates victorious, outrageous results. That's favor. How many of you need favor? That's favor defined. Let's look at favor demonstrated tonight. How is the favor of God demonstrated? Well, it's demonstrated in the life of Job. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. How do we know that? Well, there's no mention of the temple. There's really no mention of Israel. There's no mention. We believe that Job predated Abraham. It's the oldest book in the Bible. Job was a man who experienced the favor of God. In Job chapter 1, verse 3, listen to what it says. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He was the most wealthy and most influential man in all of the East. You don't get to be the greatest man in the East without the favor of God. To guard the blessings of the Lord, he was very careful to build a hedge of prayer around his life, a point that Satan made a complaint about before the throne of God. You remember he went to, and the Lord said, consider my servant Job. He said, well, I have, but there's a hedge around him. I can't get to him. This force of favor attracted not only God's blessing, but it also attracted the attention and the envy of the enemy. I've tried to get to him, but I can't get to him. Why? Because there's a hedge around him. So when Job had all of his problems and all of his troubles, and he came out of his troubles. You might have troubles. You might have problems. You might walk through difficulties. But God will not abandon you in the midst of those troubles and difficulties and problems. God will bring you out. He lost everything. The greatest of all the people of the East, a man that had wealth, in one day he lost it all. Then his friends came by. Come on, somebody. Church folk. Well, you know, you're probably seeing. And read the whole story. And you have to be careful when you read Job not to build a whole lot of doctrine out of it, because it's written, it's a poetic book. It's one of the books of poetry in the Bible. So you have to take it that way. But when you look at the three conversations that he had, and even his wife looked at him and said, curse God and die. Get it over with. This is, you know, in moments of despair and discouragement, we say things like that. But even when he came out, the Bible said God restored Job's fortunes in a double portion. Job shows us how God restores to his embattled saints a double portion of blessing and power at the end of the conflict. He got double for his trouble. Look up and say, Lord, I want double for my trouble. Favor will produce a hedge of protection around you and your family. How does God demonstrate favor in the life of the believer? What happens to those who personally experience the favor of God? What kind of benefits come from the favor of God? Well, Dr. Ronnie Floyd gives the following examples. Those who receive God's favor also receive honor. Along with the promise, he does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. God does not withhold good things from those who walk uprightly and those who live with integrity in his presence. God's favor firmly establishes the work of a person's hands. God's favor will help us endure tough times. God's favor protects the righteous like a shield. God's favor translates to great power in prayer. God's favor turns even one's enemies into unexpected allies. We cannot manipulate God and order him to give us the full range of his favor. We can't say, God, okay, I'm ordering you to give me the full range of your favor. And we can't manipulate him into a corner so that he has no choice but to grant it to us. He gives us favor according to his love and according to his grace. God can't bless us with some things because we're not ready to handle those things. And if we don't have the character to handle those things he wants to give to us, the thing that he gives to us, what would be a blessing would become a serpent, and the very thing of promotion would bring destruction. That's why God puts you through the school of the Spirit. That's why God puts you through training. That's why when there's a promise given, there's always a process to walk through before you receive the promotion of that promise. Now, I want to talk about favor, but favor is not something I just begin to, oh, Lord, give me favor and let me get the best hamburger down at the restaurant. It's not used for carnal things. But the Lord spoke to Beth and I about favor, so we've been saying that. We've been declaring. I told her for the next 7 days, we're going to declare God's favor over our life. I actually asked her to write a prayer for us on favor. And we're going to begin to speak the favor of God over our life. Why? Because it translates into great power in prayer. It turns one's enemies into unexpected allies. We need the favor of God. Many times when I go in to meet with someone or do something, I'll pray for the favor of God over that meeting, or I'll pray for the favor of God in that situation. He gives us favor according to his love and his grace. The Greek word charis is where we get the word charismatic or charismata. Charis is the real pronunciation, I think. It gets translated favor about six different times in the New Testament. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, which relates to the encounter between an angelic messenger and a young woman named Mary. Chapter 1, verse 30, Luke 1:30, it says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with the Lord.'" It can be translated as either grace or as favor. And I think you have to look at the context of the sentence that it's written in and to know exactly how to interpret it. Mary found such great favor that God chose her from all the women in the world to bear the Savior of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that. Mary carried in her womb the Savior of all humanity. Whew, what a responsibility. But at the same time, she had to walk through that law of contradiction. Can you imagine going home and, "Mom, I want to let you know I'm with child. 16 years old, maybe." Well, who's the father? The Holy Ghost. Can you imagine the stigma of being an unexpected mother in that society? It's not like that so much now here, but the stigma that she had to carry. Why do you think they sent her to Elizabeth? They were in Jerusalem. We don't think about that. We think about Mary and, oh, she gave birth to the Lord and he was born of a virgin. But the people around her didn't know she was a virgin. That was that law of contradictions. Always the favor of God and the blessings of God come with responsibilities. And many times the world fails to understand what God is doing. That's why you can't define the things of God always by the world's mindset. What if I had multi-millions of dollars tonight, but I didn't have any health? But what if I don't have multi-millions of dollars and I have my health? Which would you rather have? You see what I'm saying? The world would look at favor as money and objects and things, but God doesn't always look at it that way. There's no price you can put on your whole family being saved. If your children are saved, you can't put a price on that. The same word, charis, is also translated as grace. Grace and favor work together. Favor is simply a work of God's grace in the life of the believer. I like what Pastor Bill Johnson says. He defines grace in the following way. He said, "The Greek word for favor is charis, and it, almost everywhere in the New Testament, this word is translated grace. If we gain favor with people, or we might say we get into their good graces, we have special access to them, and we receive something from them." The same thing's true about gaining favor with God. Although the charis we receive from God is different than we receive from man. At our conversion, we receive his grace, which is the unmerited favor towards man through the blood of Christ. And this includes forgiveness and access to the very presence of God. Pastor Johnson defines grace as his operational power, the force of his nature. He gives us this grace to empower us to become like Christ. So these two aspects of grace, access and power, set us up to understand what it means to grow in favor with God. I recently heard this explanation of the favor of God. Favor is when God dips you in honey so the blessings of God stick to you. God desires to demonstrate his favor to you in ordinary and extraordinary ways. God makes you a promise about the favor of God. We're always looking for the big breakthrough or the big miracle. Where's it at? Where's it at? And we miss the small things that God does. Let's say you're believing God. You have a financial need of $500, and I'm believing God. I've prayed. I've agreed. I believe it's your will, and you're going to help me with this need of $500. And you go to the mailbox, and there's $50 in the mailbox that you were unexpectedly getting. Most of us will say, "Well, I'm thankful for the $50, but God, I need $500. Just let me preach to myself, and I'll work this out here. That is a token. That is a down payment. That is God's way of saying, "I've got this covered, but I wanted to encourage you along the way until I get that thing in the right way and get it to you in the right timing. I'm going to send these blessings along the line to let you know that my favor is working on your behalf." And many times we miss those moments. Never forget one time, Beth and I, we were first married. We were living in a little small house, the purple house we lived in. If you want to know about the Purple House, ask her. Be prepared to laugh. And I mean, it came bang, 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 bang on the back door, and I opened the door, and my brother rushed in. And he put two $100 bills in my hand. Woo! I said, "What's this?" He said, "The Lord told me." He said, I made a little money today, and the Lord told me to come over here and bless you with $100. And on the way over here, the Lord said, make it 200. I said, "Let's get in the car and go around the block." Beth got on to me. I said, "You have not because you ask not." Amen. That was favor, you see. The favor of God in your life. How many of you want to operate in the favor of God? This is not for the preacher. This is not for the television evangelist. This is not for the person that you sow the seed into. This is for every believer. God will put his favor on you in some way. I tend to wear clothes until they look bad. I rarely ever give clothes to Goodwill because the Goodwill people throw them in the trash can. I believe in getting your money's worth out of your clothes. And I wear suits as a pastor and a preacher. And I'd wear them things till my wife would look at them and say, "Go buy some suits." So one morning I was driving to the office thinking about and hearing those words from my wife echoing in my mind, "Go buy suits." And I thought, "Lord, I got to get some suits of clothes here. I need some new clothes," you know. When folks are giving you money saying, "We need to help you out," you know it's time to buy some clothes. So I was driving to the office one morning, maybe 2 weeks after she had said that, and the Lord spoke to me, and I had to drive right by this big mall on my way to my office every day. And the Lord said, "Go into JCPenney's." I thought, "I don't want to go in JCPenney's. I don't like to go to JCPenney's. I don't like to go to Belk or Kohl's or anywhere else. I just don't like to go. That's why I like Amazon. You just, and here it comes. All you got to do is stand at the door and get it. Hallelujah. You don't get 30% off or the 30% off, and you just get the regular price and you're done. So the Lord said, "Go into JCPenney's." So I went into JCPenney's. I went into the men's department. I figured that's where he wanted me to go. And the guy that was working there was a Christian guy that I knew. He wasn't a member of my church, but he was a member of one of the neighborhood churches. He recognized me because of the things we'd done together, and we talked and whatever. And he says, "We got pretty good sale going on such and such." So I started trying on clothes, and I found this couple of suits. He said, "Well, that one there you have to buy in the catalog, and I can't give you but X number." I said, "Yeah, but you can give me the same price out of the catalog as it's in the right here." So when it was all said and done, I don't remember, I got like 40, 50% off. It was a tremendous sale, and I wound up buying a lot of clothes. See, the Holy Spirit knows when to tell you to go. The problem is he tells Beth to go every day. I said, "Are you sure that's God?" Listen, her spiritual gift is shopping. I mean, we stop at the little store to get gas on the vacation, and her and Michaela are scoping out. I said, "We're not buying anything here. A gallon of milk's $8. You can't buy it here." Favor. You say, "Well, I don't believe God operates in favor like that." Sure he does. Sure he does. See, that's a part of the blessings of stewardship. Because you'd have normally paid $200 for that suit. Maybe you get it for $100. I don't know where you can get a suit for $100 anymore, but you understand what I'm saying, the principle of it. I've had the Holy Spirit deal with me about that. Can you pray about those things? Absolutely. So I would have never known those things were on sale. I would have never known what was going on. But the Holy Spirit that morning said, maybe Beth was talking to him and saying, "Please move on my husband to get some better clothes." But the Lord knew I needed that. I'll tell you a story about an auric vacuum. Y'all know what an auric? Well, God blessed me with one. Wanted one, and you know, they're very expensive, and God blessed me with an Oreck vacuum. What is that? That's favor. So let's look at favor's discipline. How can we walk and live in the favor of God? How can we see the favor of God manifest in our personal and corporate lives? How does God grant his favor? Well, I love this from Dr. Lance Wallnau. He says, favor is a magnet to the blessing and promotion of God. Favor, however, is always attached to a purpose and comes with a price. You could say that favor is on the assignment and not the person. God wraps a flesh and blood servant around the assignment he favors. God always has a kingdom purpose. Favors not for our selfish gain, but for the advancement and blessings of the kingdom of God. God always has a purpose related to the kingdom in favor. How do we gain the favor of God? Number one, we have not because we ask not. We pray and ask God for favor. Favor in relational issues, favor in business settings, favor to witness and share our faith. God, give me favor. Give me favor with my unsaved neighbors so that I can witness to them and tell them about Jesus so they can go to heaven and not go to hell. There's a good place to pray for favor. Favor in my business dealings. God wants you to excel. God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you. If we're a member of South Greenwood or any Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, it should never be said of us that we're the worst employee that works there. They leave 15 minutes early. They slack off. They don't do their job. We ought to be the best employees in that place. Now, years ago when these churches sprang up on these mill villages and you had the textile mills, they would hire you. Many times you'd go down there and you'd tell them, I'm a Pentecostal. They'd hire you. They knew you were honest. They knew you. They'd get a good day's work out of you. And they understood that because we had a reputation for that. So we ought to pray for favor in business settings, in our relationships. Pray for favor. Secondly, we must make the Word of God a priority in our life. You can never excel without making God's Word a priority in your life. That's why I give out prayer guides and I give out Bible reading guides and try to get you into God's Word. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the... If you start reading God's Word, your faith will grow. If you start studying God's Word, you'll begin to understand more about who He is. I'll tell you something. You can never hurt yourself reading God's Word. The more you read and study and understand who He is, the greater revelation you'll have of Him, the more you'll grow in grace. That's why we have to make the Word of God a priority in our lives. I was talking to a minister friend of mine today, and he was talking about how some people, they'll just follow after the latest phase, the latest prophecy, or... And he says, I appreciate the fact that, Pastor, you have a prophetic mantle and you move in prophecy, but you study the Word. And I said, well, here's the key. I don't build my life on a prophecy. I build my life on the anchor of God's Word. I build my life and my ministry has to be built on the discipline and the foundation of God's Word in my life. See, it's the Word of God that sustains you in trial. Prophecies come to encourage you, to comfort you, and to edify you. If I'm just chasing after the latest thrill or the latest buzzword or the latest thing, then I'm just going to live from experience to experience to experience, and I'm not going to have any stability in my life because the Bible says the letter kills. Now, if I take the Word without the Spirit, it produces legalism and bondage. That's when carnal people try to take the Word of God without being led by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to open the Word to them. They'll produce a whole system of religion that'll simply put people into bondage. The Spirit gives life, but the Spirit and the Word work together. They bring balance to one another. Why do I need the Word of God? You need the Word of God because the Bible says when a word is spoken, it's to be judged. How do I judge it? How do I test it? Number one, does it have the testimony of Jesus in it? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A true prophetic word will be a testimony of Jesus. That's number one. Number two, it has to flow into the Word of God. It can't contradict the Word of God. If it's some people have come to me at times, well, Pastor, I heard a voice telling me to do this. I said, yeah, but the Word says you can't do that. Well, I heard a voice. I said, well, that wasn't God's voice. How do I know? The Word. So I got to make the Word of God a priority in my life. We got to anchor and build our life in the Word of God. We have to study the Word. Find out what it says to us. Understand it. You say, well, I have a hard time understanding the Word. Well, that's why you need the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. When the Holy Spirit sees you sitting at His feet, He is authorized to become your personal mentor. Picture this. You're reading the Word. You're thinking His Word. And you are studying His Word. He becomes your personal mentor. And this attracts divine favor into your life. Number three, we have to make church attendance a priority. Boy, that's a good one right there. You say, well, Pastor, we're here on Wednesday night. Why aren't you preaching to us? Because church today has become a place, it's no longer a necessity in people's life. It's become a convenience. Well, I'll be there if I don't have anything else scheduled. Sunday's the Lord's day. You ought to give priority to worship. I can watch church on TV. Well, good luck with that. Good luck on getting Perry Stone to come see you in the hospital. Call him. See if you can get him, you know. See if you can get him at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't. I love Perry Stone. I like, there's certain things on Christian television I watch. Maybe I like Sid Roth, I like Perry Stone. That's about the only two I ever have time to watch. And I'm thankful for Channel 16 and the good things they're doing. But none of that supplants the church. Well, the church, Pastor, the church is corrupt and God's replacing the church. No, He's not. In His Word, He said the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. He didn't say anything about any parachurch ministry or any other ministry that's organized outside of the church. God's favor is not on that. God's favor is on this. And we need each other. You say, well, Pastor, the church has a lot of problems. That's because we're here. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you now. I love this. You've heard me say it before. The ark had all those animals in it, and you had the stench of those animals inside the ark. But the stink on the inside of that ark was better than the storm on the outside. And we just can't float around. We got to get anchored into a local body and get connected and become accountable and allow God to use us in that body and get in relationship with one another. That's why, see, listen, the Bible talks about how we grow roots down in the ground. And when we get to become a part of a body, our roots grow down in the ground and those roots grow together. That's why when somebody gets moved or somebody moves out, they uproot things, it creates a problem because those roots are connected to each other. We need each other. And here's what the scripture says. Not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What advantage do I get out of coming to church? Well, number one, I have people that love me and will pray for me. Number two, I have people, and none of us should ever be judgmental or ever say anything hurtful about another brother or sister in the Lord, especially a young person. We should never get engaged in the rumors and the gossip, but we should always be encouraging towards those who come. I'm telling you, I don't need people to tear me down. I've got the devil to do that. He's full-time on the job harassing me. I don't know about you at your house, but he shows up to harass me. What I need is people that will come alongside me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I see your faults. I know you're not perfect. I'm not going to remind you of them because you already know what they are. But I'm going to love you in spite of them, and I'm going to lift you up and bless you in the name of the Lord. That's what we get from coming to church together. But so often we hear a little something and we get hold of that tidbit and we feel led to spread it far and wide. I'm going to tell you, if I had people that would witness and share their faith the way they would carry rumors, I've had rumors that have been spoken about me at times. I don't know where they come from, how it got started, but man, that thing would spread like wildfire. I thought if we could do something good and get the same response out of that, we could touch the world for Jesus in a matter of days. It's good preaching right there. I'll just preach on. I love this. He said in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Number four, how do I enter into worship and intimacy? Worship and intimacy. These two go hand in hand. The word intimacy, you could define it this way, into me see. That means I get vulnerable before the Lord. I get vulnerable before Him. God is attracted to those who have their heart open to Him. Worship's so powerful. Worship is such a force in our life. That's why the enemy attacks it in the way he does. Most of the battles I've ever had in church and in pastoring has been over worship. Style, function, form, songs, you know. And we tend to settle in the place where the season where we were saved. If we were saved when and a certain style of music was going, we tend to find our identity there because that's where we came into the church. That's how we grew up. That's where we come from. And we tend to fall there. But worship has to be more than just a style of song. Beth and I pray together. We put on worship music and we worship. Many times we'll spend a lot of time in worship. Sometimes our prayer time just kind of turns into worship. And sometimes I'm playing hymns and old songs that go back to my childhood and speak to me. Other times I'm playing stuff that's out today that's new. It really don't matter to me as long as the hand of God is on that particular song at that moment and it's speaking to me and it's helping me to find a place in the Lord in worship. See, praise exalts what He does. Worship declares who He is. And worship brings us to a place of Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. He loves those who worship Him. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, we learn that Mary was highly favored, and this produced visitation. Here in Mary's life, we see exactly how this applies. God is attracted to her because of her heart's desire. The force of favor toward Him, likewise, He comes to visit you. When He comes to visit you, He leaves you different from before He came. In Mary's case, she was left pregnant. God thus reveals that in addition to His many names of the Old Testament, He is not only Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Rapha, but He's also Jehovah Sneaky. When He visits you, He impregnates you with a vision, an assignment, and a mission. And He may not understand it all at first, but once the favor of God comes, the assignment becomes more personal and compelling. And when you spend prolonged time in God's presence, it's natural that at some point you conceive His desire. God's desire tonight is to use you. He is seeking a people through whom He can give birth by His Spirit, the initiatives and the desires of the council of heaven. There are people that God's calling you to reach that I will never reach. There are people that you can touch that I will never touch. I'm not supposed to touch them. They're not my harvest, they're your harvest. They're not my witness, they're your witness. There are things that God's calling you to do that you can't do without the favor of God. You need the favor of God. So I would encourage you to start asking God and believing God for His favor. Favor is usually related to an assignment that God has on us.